This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey, everybody. It is Aaron Norris with the Norris Group, and we are here today continuing the accessory dwelling unit conversation with Dossier Capital. We've got Michael De La Cruz, Dennis Batung, and Michael Randall on the phone today. Hey, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Aaron.
Thanks for having us.
So about a little over a year ago, a year from last September, you guys were very instrumental in us helping write an accessory dwelling unit chapter as we rolled out hard money funding for investors doing this via flips, holds, and even secondary units on rentals they already purchased. And I looped back with Christy Sertwell, and she has been working a lot in Long Beach. And I came out to see your guys' stuff this summer. I forget if that was June or July, and I was just amazed with some of the things you guys are doing. So a year later, I just definitely want to follow up with how you guys have done and if you still love ADUs and all that kind of fun stuff. So Michael Randall, how about we start with you talking about Dossier Capital and what you guys do?
Hey guys, this is Mike. Actually, we'll go by Mike De La Cruz.
Okay.
And we started our business. Now this is going to be our 12th year in business, and we started our business flipping and developing and really looking at, you know, what is the next big thing. We call it seeing the invisible, trying to stay ahead of the curve. And so for the past few years now, starting in 2017, we've been really focused on ADUs, seeing the huge benefits for, you know, homeowners, but also us as investors, and how, you know, a lot of properties that were not able to pencil out are now penciling out. So, you know, we've been really focused on that and allowing us to really buy and hold. So today we're still flipping, we're still developing, but we're using really the ADU ordinance as really our advantage to keeping some of the properties that we're purchasing.
Well, you guys didn't have the advantage of all the bills that just went through in 2019. So was it a rough start?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not only for us, but also there was a major learning curve for the cities as well. You know, this is all new to a lot of the planners. And so, in fact, there's a new ordinance that is now available for us in 2020 that the planners have yet to get training on. So they should be getting training any day now. But if you can imagine, you know, there's a lot of confusion when we first started submitting ADUs from both sides, our side as well as the planning side. Now people are getting more familiar. It's gaining a lot more popularity, but even with these new rules coming in 2020, now there's going to be a new learning curve on that as well.
Yeah, it makes me laugh when I spoke in front of a Long Beach Landlord Association on ADUs. I called Long Beach and they sort of gave me a little bit of sass on the phone and they seem very annoyed. They're like, yeah, we haven't even looked at it. And that was in November. So you're basically saying from your experience, a lot of cities haven't really spent the time to look at what's actually already in play in January.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, you know, people are allowed to submit their plans, but until some of the planning departments get training on what the new rules are and what's allowed, they're not able to start processing them. Again, we've been hearing that they are any day now. This was last week that they will be getting training and they will be reviewing plans. But that's what we've been getting since the start of the new year.
Are you attaching the new rules to your application? Just to help them out.
Yeah, we're being kind in educating as much as we can, but we know, you know, they're going to get there. And everyone's well aware that there's going to be an influx of new applications based on this new ordinance or just the changes to the new ordinance. Everyone's on our side is pretty excited.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the response. We'll go through different ones real quick. So what's been the response with the cities? Let me know the cities that you've been working with and the response to your projects thus far have been.
For us, the experience has been great. I mean, many of the planners that we work with, again, we've been working in these cities for 10 years plus. Mainly the city of LA and the county of LA is where, you know, we're designing and building ADUs, not only for ourselves, but other homeowners and other investors alike. And it's been great. They've been willing to work. And although they may not have all of the information, you know, they're willing to work with us and getting to the right person to get us that information. So for us, again, it's nothing new. And we've had these relationships with many of the planners and just people in those departments. So it's been a great experience on our side.
That's good to hear. Now, I got to tour two of your ADUs in Frogtown in the LA area. What has the neighbor's response been to you? Because oftentimes the two projects that I saw, it wasn't just the ADU that you were rehabbing. You were also rehabbing the primary residence. So how are the neighbors felt that you've been in the neighborhood?
This is Mike again. I can say for me, I've spoken to some of the neighbors in the areas that we're in, and so far it's been great. Granted that we love building appropriately for the neighborhood, and we are always mindful of, you know, what the neighbors are thinking and saying, and not building monstrosities in some of the neighborhoods that we're in. And one thing that we always keep in mind as well is just the aesthetics. You know, if we have a beautiful Spanish home, then, you know, we're building appropriately, we're building the ADU appropriately for that neighborhood. So on my side, from what I've heard, it's been great feedback. Guys?
Yeah. The other great thing that we've had a lot of is the neighbors coming to us as homeowners, asking what we're doing. And then a few of them have actually brought us on as a consultant or to actually get their home entitled and you know, build an ADU for them. So that's been a great experience as well.
Well, it's good to hear that the neighbors are sort of all for it, because I guess there's sometimes a fear that, hey, you're getting rid of parking. There's going to be more people in the neighborhood in LA, and it's already terrible. And you guys really haven't dealt with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure those concerns exist out there, and you know, there are going to be people that don't want that in their neighborhood, you know, but for the most part, I think the beauty of us being in this, you know, urban oasis is that, you know, a lot of the people that in the neighborhoods that we work in understand that, you know, there is a housing shortage, and like Mike De La Cruz mentioned, the, you know, building to with consideration of the local neighborhood and the architecture and being mindful of that really helps our case. Yeah.
Well, and then it comes down to the buyers. You guys have, you know, been at this for a year, so you've had the experience. What has the buyer's response been, and what's their plan for the ADUs? Are they looking to buy one of your flips on the ADU to rent it out or to use it as a family member? Is there a general rule, or is it everybody's looking at it differently?
Yeah, so the ADU that you actually visited with us in LA, I actually got to talk to the owners afterwards, and they rented theirs out, and they were able to rent it out for $2,500, and they bought that property for $1.25. Dennis, is that correct? $1.25. So $1.25 million, and you know, I'm not sure what their financing was, but they are renting out the ADU for $2,500, and they said that it rented out within a week.
Wow. So that helps them afford a property they may not have been able to afford on their own.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I was at an event where I might be in sending you guys somebody. It was somebody who was getting a divorce. It was amicable, but they wanted to keep the home. So they were looking at an ADU. I don't know if he was planning on living there, but in order for her to feel comfortable owning the house, they were going to keep the house together. She was going to live there either in the ADU and then rent out the primary. I'm not sure, but who knows? Interesting option.
That's right. We're also designing and eventually we'll be building a home for a couple that we're considering moving out and downsizing. But with the new ADU ordinance, their thought is that they can build an ADU for themselves at the rear of the property, single story, of course, possibly ADA compliant, which we are, I think, most excited about with clients being interested in ADA compliant building of these ADUs, and then renting out their existing home that they're in now. I think that's a great option for many that that they just didn't have before 2017.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And another thing we've noticed, Aaron, is we actually have two clients that we're working with right now, where one couple wants to build the ADU for one of the in-laws, or one of the parents, and the other couple, the parents are building the ADU for their newlywed kids, because affordability and also considering that their home sits on a large lot, so they decided to build an ADU for their kids to move into. And so, it's really interesting to see, buyers and homeowners getting creative in this way, and being able to share the land, but not have to share the space. They both have their own privacy, and one of these couples is actually the ADU that they're building, they're totally building it with privacy. It's going to have a fence surrounding the perimeter, and their own private space, even though they're living with family on the same land. So it's really cool.
I did an interview last week, and I was being interviewed. I'm like, I think design is very important, and I would hate for investors to become cram lords. And I decided I created the definition of a cram lord, being an investor who crams as many ADUs and square footage onto a lot as possible, therefore ruining the design and lowering value. I've followed you guys online for years, and you guys have always done a very beautiful job aesthetically on the design. So I never imagined you guys going into a property saying like, hey, how can we blow this up?
Cause that's design, right. Exactly.
So I've seen your projects. I know you're very sensitive to that. Do you have an approach to designing ADUs, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I think it definitely starts with the neighborhoods that we're in, the lot size that we're given, the aesthetic or the design that we're given, and really knowing like who is going to be either buying or renting in these neighborhoods and what amenities they're looking for. For us, one way of capturing an amenity, if we don't have the lot size, is building rooftop decks, and being able to have the ADU folks that are either renting or again buying access to an area where they can entertain on the rooftop. And with the neighborhood that we're in and the views that we have surrounding, it's just a great add-on, great value for these folks.
Let's talk about the one in Frogtown that I got to see, because I was a little shocked because it seemed like the setback wasn't very far, but it was a great example of what you were just talking about. I think you guys, while you're rehabbing, we're doing a vacation rental on the front, which is very smart. And in the back, it was basically a three-story, but it was a two-story live space. And I believe it was it a two-bedroom? The garage and the kitchen and the living space were downstairs. I think I remember there's two bedrooms upstairs, and there was a great deck on the very top, on the third level. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, and it cracked me up because you were looking over into your neighbor's yards. Were people freaking out, or were they cool with it?
No, we haven't had any issues with that. What's cool about these neighborhoods is there's already apartments and or multifamily type buildings scattered throughout these neighborhoods, and a lot of, like, for example, our neighbor there, it's a two-story apartment. I believe it's a four unit. And, they've been towering over our property for, 50, 60 years or however long that's been there. So, I just think that we're lucky in that sense, that in these neighborhoods that we work in LA, people understand that this is where we're headed. I mean, with the housing shortage and with the current rental market, and how the feasibility for people, it's what's necessary.
Now, is that one finished? Did you sell that one already?
We are almost finished with that one. I believe we'll be ready to go on that one in the next 3 weeks.
Wow. It's coming up. Okay. Are you pretty happy with that, how that one turned out?
Very happy. Yeah. Yeah. And we're excited to see, you know, how the market appreciates and values that, because it's going to be the first one with the rooftop and that two-story build out that we sell. So we're excited about that.
The nice thing is that you are creating comps in that neighborhood. So the first one that I went to was a single family residence. I believe it was a 3-2, and you guys did a beautiful renovation on the front house. And then on the back, it was a garage that you converted to an ADU. So I think it was around 600 square feet. It was really nicely designed. And I featured you guys finally in the Forbes story that I did. It was these guys, Dossier Capital, that was the ADU that was featured in the story, which it was beautiful. You guys did an awesome job. What was the buyer's response to that specific comp? Did it sell pretty quickly? And did you get what you want for it?
Yeah. Yeah. That one, that is the one I was referring to earlier, where they were able to rent it out for $2,500. And we were in escrow really quick. I believe within 10 days or so, we were in escrow.
Wow. That's
so. Yeah. And what was cool is I got to talk to these buyers and, you know, find out, I really enjoy finding out the story behind, you know, what motivates people or what they loved about our house, you know, because it's not often that we can actually connect with the buyers. So, being that I was able to talk to them, they told me that they had lost out on a bunch of, properties, in the area, a specific one that I knew about with another investor. And, you know, when they saw this come up, they just knew they had to have it. So they came in, you know, above the asking price. And, you know, what was cool is they also mentioned that they lived in Silver Lake. And what he mentioned was that this particular part of LA was exciting to him because it felt like old school Silver Lake, so to speak.
Hmm. Interesting. So you got more than you wanted. That's really cool. I was going to ask you another question on that one specifically. Did you guys end up talking to Jay, the realtor, on that one very much?
No, I didn't. I don't remember. You know, I believe our agent was talking to Jay on that one.
It's just so weird. We happen to know the investor/realtor on the other side of that transaction. When I posted the Forbes story, he's like, "Hey, my buyer bought that." You're like, "Get out of here! What a small world." You get to store that comp in the same neighborhood, but this is a really different one because of that rooftop. So it'll be very interesting to see how that compares price-wise, and if you get what you want. And do you guys pre-list things? Is there a buzz about it already? Have you gotten some early interest on the one that's in the same neighborhood with the three-story ADU?
We haven't listed it yet. Again, we are at the final stages yet. So we start pre-marketing, I would say, in about 2 weeks or so. And then we'll be, you know, on in February.
Very cool. Wow. So it sounds like ADUs are going to be something that you continue to look at in the year ahead. Would that be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned earlier, and in regards to the new, the revised ordinance, it's called SB 13, which is going to be huge, again, for many homeowners, but also us as investors as well. A couple of the big ticket items are no development fees. So for cities in Pasadena where they had a large development fee, in order for you to even submit and then get an ADU approved, that no longer is the case. And second is you can now add an ADU to a multifamily zoned lot. So that's also significant for us as well, and being able to pencil out now, you know, lots that we have currently as R2, being able to have two units in addition to that, have an ADU on that lot as well. Of course, with the caveat that it meets all other requirements in terms of setbacks and, you know, height restrictions, et cetera. But that's huge. It's going to be significant. And like I mentioned earlier, they've already received many applications starting on January 1st. And they've been sitting there until the planning departments get training on what the new ordinance is going to be. But for us, you know, again, we're really excited for what we can submit in, for this year.
I think part of the reason I'm excited about like you and Christy is that I think investors who are not cram lords, who have a very design focused aesthetic, and they're really looking at the livability of the units, can play a huge game in having cities maybe offer some other tools. So the law basically says at least one ADU. So it doesn't mean that you can't come forward and say, hey, this is a really big lot in Pasadena. This would be really easy to put a JADU and an ADU. We beautifully designed it. What do you think? You might be surprised if you come in it with a really good design, what a city will allow you to do. Remember that the state basically is allowed to count ADUs now towards some of its affordable housing goals. So this might be a huge win for both, but they're not going to do it for people that they don't like. So
100%.
And the multifamily front, the rule says cities can go upwards, I think, of 20% of the units. So they're supposed to allow at least one, but it doesn't mean that they can't do more. So if you, for some weird reason, have a ton of land on a multi and you approach them and say, hey, I know this is a four unit, but it could easily be an eight if we reconfigure, they might say, yeah, you just never know. Oh, sorry, that math did not work, by the way. That's not 20%. Anyway, have you guys decided on purpose to push the edge of what cities are sort of saying they'll do?
We haven't yet. And again, like you mentioned, you know, we don't want to push the envelope on that. You know, we do want to build appropriately. We don't want to be, and I love that term, by the way. So if you start seeing hashtag cram lords, I think we've got to make sure that Aaron gets the nod on that.
And if
I see it on Urban Dictionary, exactly. Yeah, we've got to make sure we tag you on that. But yeah, we don't want to be cram lords, and we want to make sure we're building appropriately. So we haven't really. And the areas that we are going to submit for multifamilies, we do have a lot size. And the ability to have some parking, although, you know, again, with an ADU, you're not required to have parking, but it is also great, especially in some neighborhoods, to have the ability to have parking on the lot.
Oh my gosh, it could be worth a lot of money. Listen, I grew up for 7 years in New York City where parking spaces were $40,000 in the 2000s. So, you know, cities like West Hollywood, some cities, it's so terrible. And if, you know, some people just don't have cars, that is definitely a thing if they're going to take mass transit and that's the game. But, you know, if you have a car and it's that, again, the livability experience is so horrible, you know, a parking spot could be worth a lot of money. And that's what I thought was so interesting in your design on the one. You had a single garage space for the ADU in the back. And I was like, wow, that's pretty smart. So,
correct.
We'll have to loop back around. I do want to bring up real quick, the law states that you can't sell the ADU separately. However, you guys have been exploring the TIC model for ADUs. And let's bring it up because I think in 6 months when you have more experience, I might want to bring you and the lender back that's willing to lend on it. But let's just talk about it sort of high level, the idea. Who wants to do it?
Dennis, you won.
Are you saying if we can sell an ADU as a TIC? Is that the
Yeah. Let's explore the TIC model because I don't think it's on very many people's radar at all. And you guys have definitely thought outside the box on this one.
Yeah. So TIC, just a brief, you know, strategy is instead of actually subdividing your lot and waiting for a longer period of time, we're able to sell basically partial ownership, fractional ownership of the property, of the asset, right? So in San Francisco, they've been doing it for quite a long time, and we have a great attorney out there who's been putting together these TIC projects for the Bay Area for over a few decades here, and we're working with her, and she's helped us redo a couple of our triplexes to fit a TIC model. And we're able to sell these units independently to different buyers, and they own a portion of that property. There only is one, maybe there's two lenders now actually in Southern California that could lend for it. And we've had one specific lender visit our TIC properties. And then we showed them our ADU property too as well. And we got their opinion on it, if we can do TIC. And they love the property just because it's clean and it's already split up and they mentioned that they could do the TIC financing for it. So they've already given us an approval on the financing end that they would love to finance our ADU if we were to split it for TIC. We haven't spoken with our attorney yet and see if that's possible, but from a lender's perspective, they mentioned they would love to finance that.
Now, I'm assuming the TIC, it's a share of the square footage that you own. And is there any room for you as the investor to withhold the share for your own, like keeping 10% just because you're awesome?
No. Well, if there were more units, so we're actually on we're in escrow right now on a 4-unit property, right?
Okay.
In LA. And one thing we've been toying with and speaking to other investors about is we could get the property ready for TIC and renovate everything. We could sell 3 of the properties and keep one free and clear. That's something that we could do. So if there's enough room and enough units, then we could keep a specific unit. But actually holding a piece or a percentage of a unit that we're looking at, it's not possible. You can only keep units as a whole, which would then be, you know, a fraction of the asset.
Okay. No, it's a really interesting strategy. I definitely want to come back to that next time you guys are on, when we have more experience with it. Temecula just outlawed this week vacation rentals. The state law basically invited cities as they were updating their ordinance to get rid of vacation rentals. Are you worried at all that that may impact price of people who might buy these with the ADUs?
In the city of LA, and I know it seems like they're working towards that. I don't know if they'll be able to do an all-out ban here because you know, it's so expensive, but we've found that the neighborhoods we work in, the long-term rentals are just as good, if not better, in the sense of, you know, the, for example, wear and tear, with vacation rentals, you know, is definitely an issue. You have different people with different living styles, coming through the house every few days. So, there's that component, and then, you know, just having to actually manage it or paying a property manager to manage your vacation rental can run up to 20% of the gross rent. So in that sense, we've also found that in a lot of the neighborhoods we work in, the long-term rental rates are just as good when you factor those things in.
Okay. Well, finally, we're out of time, but you are actually helping clients do these in the LA area. How would somebody get a hold of you guys if they were interested in exploring ADUs?
Yeah, definitely. So one thing we did not mention, and we might as well announce it here on your show, is that we actually just opened our design build company, DCLA Design and Build. And so we are now starting to work with many more homeowners to design and build their ADUs, but also, you know, for designing and building their custom home or their addition and full remodel. And so that service is out there now. You can reach us at info@dcladesignbuild.com. That's info@dcladesignbuild.com. And let us know what your thoughts are and how creative you want to get with ADUs or your home remodels, and we'll be happy to help you.
Uh-oh, watch out. I'll be creating profiles for all you guys on our website, and then I'll make sure to link all the info. So if, you know, you're on the radio show and you're driving, please don't text and drive.
Great disclaimer.
All right, guys, I so appreciate you taking the time today. We'll follow up in about, 6 months or so to see how some of this TIC stuff is going. I'm really excited to learn more.
Thanks, Aaron. All right, guys.
Thank you. Doing this in a pinch on a holiday. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.